Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley. Episode 17, produced and dramatised by Be Here. Chapter 15, Alia Toria, The Golden Tower. Water rushed down the ravine's bed. A milky shade of lazurite blue, caressing gnarled tree roots. Ahead, the gentle hills raised their grassy crests. A demure ring of monoliths crowned the tallest. A distance away, huddled by the crag, an ancient wooden bridge was making promises it could barely keep. Tay looked over the meadows, the hills, and the steeps with a weary stare. The beauty of the vista was lost on him.
This God's spat forest seems to have no end,
he brooded grimly.
Bet we grow old and die before we ever get out.
Antares favoured him with an ironic smile.
It will be sooner than that,
she said.
Ah, not again.
Tay rolled his eyes.
Damn, should have screened that. Sorry.
Don't swear,
Antares told him.
You need to work on ridding yourself of that habit, warrior.
Something in her voice made Tay flinch. He never heard the Guardian speaking like that before.
I'm sorry,
he repeated hastily, throwing his arm across his chest.
Will do.
Our teacher always told us off for swearing,
Nesteri remarked casually, studying the view on the other side of the stream.
He was very adamant about it too, though he never explained why.
Perhaps because it's obvious,
Hegel chimed in. He ardently studied a curious scrub with leaves that looked like ribbons of green lace. Finally, he pressed one of the leaves onto his notebook's page and traced the outline.
Vituperation is just naff.
I didn't get it then and I still don't get it now,
Tay retorted with a petulant shrug.
It's just words. Why such a big deal?
He crossed his arms.
Never underestimate the power of a spoken word,
Antares told him. Confirming Tay's worst expectations. She turned towards the decayed bridge.
The energy of your voice is mightier than you think, and the stronger you become, the more it grows too. It's not unusual to cause real harm through curse words.
How?
When your power is focused enough, the words you say can turn into a spell and work the same.
Heavy.
Tay rubbed the back of his head.
Noted. Thank you.
So that's why it always felt wrong to me. Useful to know.
Hegel slung the notebook back into his inner pocket.
I wonder why Master Alsvier never explained that.
Not to incite your teenage curiosity,
Antares answered levelly.
Makes sense.
Tay smirked.
I can totally see that.
The sorry wooden bridge was now before them, mould-stricken and creaky. Antares stopped. The quarter watched the great star raising her right hand, pointing and middle fingers joined, and drawing a symbol in the air above the bridge. The sigil flashed green and faded into tiny flecks of light that floated into the wood.
What was that?
Nesteri asked, mystified.
A rune of power,
Antares said.
You too shall learn them before long.
She led the way. The warriors followed hesitantly. To their surprise, the weathered timber felt as safe and solid as though made of rock.
Hear me,
the great star continued.
Your voice is music that touches the fibre of the universe, a distant echo of the song of creation itself. Its magic evokes the elements and shapes reality. Be mindful when you speak. Words that you say remain imprinted in the fabric of existence forever. They can both harm and heal.
The ground across the stream was soft with moss, so thick it swallowed the foot up to the ankle. Nesteri glanced back. He wondered briefly who might have built a bridge amidst a wilderness like this. There was no trace of a hearth, nor a living soul for miles. Was there a town here once? A long-lost village? The wind sighed. A line of hollows from his step behind was slowly filling up. The party cut through the tufts of silver grass and climbed to the henged top of the highest hill. A double ring of monoliths stood there demurely among the pieces of half-sunken stone, touched with moss and lichen. The inside of the pillars bore traces of inscriptions, but the letters were worn out and partially gone. Cracked ruby crystals still adorned the curlicues here and there. Where they had fallen off, dust filled the crevices in their stead. A sweet mixture of sacredness and desolation shrouded all. Hegel took out his notebook again, frowned at the blunted pencil, turned it in his fingers critically, but then shrugged. He didn't want to waste time on sharpening right now. The warrior walked across the henge, choosing an angle that appealed to him, and did a quick sketch with what he had. It was a great view. The interlaced rows of columns revealed a crumbled prism of the altar in the middle, but the wind was a real bother. It kept throwing Hegel's hair across his face and eyes until eventually the star turned his back to the ruins and finished the details from memory. Nesteri glanced over his shoulder, curved his lips appreciatively, but said nothing.
You'd find it easier if you didn't let your pencil go blunt that quickly.
Antares casually pointed out.
I don't let it,
Hegel replied, baffled by her remark.
It just gets blunt from use.
Not quite. It gets blunt because you expect it to. It's like with aging.
What?
Hegel's brows went up.
What?
Nesteri and Tay echoed him.
What do you mean?
Your expectations make your reality,
Antares said.
It is a dream of your mind, remember? Question what you believe is true. Realize that things don't need to happen to you a certain way only because they happen to someone else. Let go of thoughts that slow you down or make you weak. Reality will follow.
Right.
Tay ruffled his hair and combed it with his fingers, and the wind threw it back.
Right, I'll get my head around this. Do we need to train to make it happen?
No. Only to remember.
Hegel put his pencil in between the pages and thumbed across the edges, uncertainly.
What shall we remember?
That you're not your body or your mind. You're the light within.
So, through that knowledge, we could influence the world around us.
Nesteri crinkled his eyes with a mixture of curiosity and disbelief.
Through understanding, not through knowledge.
Antares corrected.
And yes, to the degree your mind allows.
Essentially, mastering awareness.
Hegel spoke again.
That's right. Awareness is a large part of it.
I think I've got it.
Tay locked his hands above his head, then turned left and right.
What now?
He asked.
Arrest?
Antares looked at him.
Not yet.
A sunray hit the crystals to her right, splattering ruby gleam.
Then an adventure.
The captain tilted his head and looked back at Antares with a hint of a smile. One eye squinted.
You can count it as such,
Antares said.
I want to show you what your voice can do.
My voice?
Tay gave a baffled blink.
What?
You'll see.
As soon as that, the sky darkened. A storm drew in, fierce and sudden. A troubled tumult of rain-laden clouds. The long sleeves of Antares's gown snapped, soaring in the gale like wings, dazzlingly white against the ashy stones.
Your task is to make the sky clear again,
she told the quarter. They stared at her uncomprehendingly.
I would if I knew how,
Tay said frankly. The front of his jacket was flapping, and he pulled it in closer.
Please teach us,
Nesteri echoed, the spark in his eyes belying his impassive face. the Academy Masters could bend the weather to their will, a skill that always fascinated him. After the fall, he never imagined he'd be lucky enough to learn it too. If that were the one and only thing he mastered on Largu, it would still make it worth it, he thought.
What do you know about the energy gates, warriors?
The gates grid?
Yes.
Not much,
Tay admitted.
Only that it exists. Our training was only focused on the Fionn Point, just below the navel, the one we use for fighting.
They are energy ports,
Nasteri added.
As Tay said, we didn't have a chance to learn them properly before the fall, but I found a library book that talked about them in more detail. Well, supposedly. It was written in that archaic, flourished style full of parables, hard even for me to follow. In other words, I don't remember much of it.
He grinned, somewhat bashfully.
But it described 7 or 8 of them.
Antares nodded.
You influence reality through them and get influenced in turn. The mind gates are indeed the ports through which your mind sends and receives energy. These gates are many, but the main 7 will be of most use for you right now. They are positioned alongside your spine, all the way up to the crown of your head. Learning to control them is key to stepping into your real power.
Perfect, let's do it,
Tay said eagerly, all vigilant, alert and ready. Antares favoured him with a light smile.
Very well. Each gate works on its own frequency, which we perceive as rainbow colours.
What if I don't perceive?
Tay asked. He gazed at Antares' sleeves, flying against the sky and the clouds weltering above. They were dark and low, but not a drop of rain had fallen yet.
You will, in time,
Antares told him patiently.
These are more subtle energies than the ones you're used to.
Hegel sat down, leaning against a piece of jarred rock, and propped his notebook on his knees. The gale ruffled the pages, and he pressed them flat with his other arm.
The first one, at the base of the spine, is red.
The great star raised her hand, and a ball of carmine energy appeared above her palm, a glowing eye amongst the storm.
It's called the Red Gate, or the Root, and its power is to connect you with all physical aspects of your life. It bestows health, vitality, and stamina. It's blocked by fear and the feeling of not belonging.
I must apologize for interrupting,
Hegel spoke hesitantly.
But how would we know if it's blocked, since we can't see it?
Antares lowered her hand, and the light globe vanished. The storm faded into grey, watchful stillness.
Blocked means that the flow of energy dwindles,
she said.
And when that happens, it takes away the freedoms of that gate. Shall the root be affected, say, tiredness and restless sleep will follow. The level of vitality would decline and tend to stay that way. For those without training, that often worsens with age. A blocked heart gate, green in colour, would create a struggle to feel love, to connect with others, and to realise your core being. And for the weak indigo gate, the one on the forehead, the lack of energy there would hinder clear thinking and concentration. Memory would deteriorate as well.
I have noticed such hang-ups with the civvies,
Tay said. He was sitting on the grass next to Hegel and Nasteri, behind a larger pillar that shielded him from the squalls.
They seem to run in patterns, but I didn't understand what caused them, I mean until now. At the Academy everyone seemed fine, though I guess our training helped.
Yes, meditation and physical training make a huge difference for your energy balance.
Antares continued, explaining about all the 7 mind gates, one by one, pausing to let the warriors learn how the different currents felt.
Close your eyes. Good. Now, turn your attention to the energy within and focus on each mind gate in turn, moving upwards. Yes, just so. Let me know when you've gone through them all.
After a while, Tay nodded, and Nasteri after him. Finally, Hegel did too.
Good,
she said.
Now you're ready to make it happen.
Make what happen?
Tay opened one curious eye, then both.
channel your power through your voice.
Nice. I love the sound of it.
Tay smirked at his own joke.
How do we do that?
Antares gestured to the quarter to get up.
It's simple enough,
she said as the clouds above her head swelled and darkened again.
Tay, I guess you'd like to go first?
Tay beamed at her.
Always.
Very well. Ready? Now, bring your attention to the orange gate below the navel. That's right. And at the same time, activate the indigo gate too. Very good. Now, set your intention. In your mind's eye, see the sky clearing out. Now sing and let your voice carry out your intent and the energy of both gates. Go.
Tay sang a few lines, then broke off, cringed and messed his hair.
No, something's wrong. I can sense it.
He looked at Antares searchingly.
You got distracted thinking about how you're doing.
The great star told him.
Keep your mind focused on the result and nothing else. Imagine the sky above clear and blue, the warmth of sunshine on your face. Make it as real as though it's happened already.
Got it. Thank you.
Tay dipped his head, closed his eyes and tried again, more collected this time. He sang a stanza, loud and clear, and then another one. With every line, the captain's voice was growing steadier and richer. He was halfway through the song.
Tay, look!
Nisteri called out suddenly.
Look!
What?
The captain's eyes snapped open. He jerked his head up and a huge smile broke out on his face. A pool of brilliant light shone right above the hill where the clouds were gone.
Ha! I did it!
He gasped out.
I did it! It worked! Check me out!
Tay did a little happy dance, but then composed himself, wiped off a smug grin and turned to Antares.
How did I do?
Very well indeed,
Antares told him reassuringly.
Even more so for the first attempt.
Tay's fingers folded into a gesture of complacency.
Haven't been this excited since a kid,
he admitted heartily.
Does this work only on Lagu?
It works everywhere.
Even better. Now, you two.
Tay made a wide gesture with his arm towards Hegel and Nisteri.
Have a go as well.
Hegel swallowed.
Sure, of course.
He wished the earth would open up and take him, then and there. Few things in life did he hate as much as singing. Must Alsvir used to say his voice was fine, but Hegel could never convince himself it was so. In his own ears, the sound he made resembled the raw bleating of a drowning sheep, cursed with indigestion. He would not dare to torture anyone's ears with that kind of a yowl. Singing in front of Tay would already be bad enough. But now the great star was here. Hegel felt the weight of embarrassment buckling his knees, tightening like a slipknot on his throat.
Sure,
he mumbled again, feverishly trying to summon composure, to say something that would befit his training and position. It wasn't easy.
Perhaps the voice of command would suit you better,
Antares suggested, as though she had read his thoughts. Ah, yes, of course, she did. Hegel looked at the great star with a glimpse of hope.
The voice of command?
He asked.
It's mostly used for mind control, but can be channeled into other purposes as well.
Antares summoned back the clouds.
You say the words instead of singing them out. Same mind gates are at work, plus the throat. Just remember to breathe down your diaphragm as you speak.
That sounds very helpful indeed.
Hegel replied carefully, trying not to make the tone of relief too obvious.
Stop dawdling, do it,
Tay told him with hardly concealed impatience. Hegel nervously ran fingers through his hair.
Of course, I was just about to... just thinking how to phrase it.
Seeing his indecision, Nisteri stepped forward.
I'll go first,
he said considerately. The evening drew close, serene and dreamy. Soft sighs of the breeze rolled through the twilit forest, whispering their otherworldly lullabies. The stretches of crystal blue between the leaves above faded into deep amethyst hues.
Funny how a place you hardly know can start feeling like home,
Tay mused. He wondered how long they'd been here. A month? A year? The forest rustled soothingly. Time had a strange, elusive quality in this world.
I want Far to see it. We should bring him here once we get him back.
He glanced at Nasteri, who walked beside him, being his usual annoying self, busy staring at something invisible ahead, as though there was something there. Tay nudged him with an elbow.
What's so exciting?
There's something there,
Nasteri answered simply.
What now? Another ghostly temple?
Not sure. A citadel, I guess. It's got white walls. See?
Where?
2 o'clock.
Tay squinted.
I see it,
he said with sudden satisfaction, almost surprised. For once, he wasn't the slow one lagging behind and missing out.
Yeah. Seems like a fort of sorts. Hag, can you see?
Hegel winced, but looked at where Tay was pointing. A glimpse of white shimmered there amongst the trees, ethereal in the deepening shadows.
It's just a mist,
he shrugged.
No way. It seems kind of solid. Check again,
Tay insisted.
I wonder what that is.
It's the wall around the Golden Tower,
Antares said. The captain's eyes lit up.
Yes, and what about it?
You'll find out soon enough.
Antares smiled.
Is that where we're headed?
Yes, it shall serve as our shelter for the night.
As they wandered closer, a weighty old lantern above the gate flickered and shone, scattering copper shadows. The glow brightened the gilded finials of the fence and brought to life an enigmatic script strewn over the entrance and the walls in long, auriferous curlicues. Antares waved a hand and the dark iron wings of the gate opened soundlessly. A maze of shrubs beyond was tall and swathed in twilight. The guardian walked in first. A lozenge of brass filigree appeared above her hand and floated up. Its soft glow brightened the path ahead. Dry gravel scrunched under the star's feet.
The Golden Tower is what you always seek,
Antares spoke, entering the maze, a cryptic riddle.
Do I?
Tay lifted his brow.
What for?
He traded baffled glances with his battle brothers.
I'm not talking about the place we're going to, but the symbol.
Right. I mean, no idea. I'm lost,
Tay admitted with a guileless grin. Antares stopped and turned to the quarter. Her white cloak swirled around her.
Your golden tower is your awareness of self,
she said. There was a hint of weariness in her voice.
It is the main quest of the warrior.
She resumed walking and gestured to follow her.
You need to find your way, to cut through the labyrinth of your thoughts, desires, and delusions that keep you trapped. Your true power comes from your alignment with the self. Whenever you feel stuck or need directions, meditate on finding your golden tower, the core awareness within you.
The first pale stars sprang out in the gloaming. The breeze subsided, yielding to the gentle rain of the night.
The snares and lies of the shadow can deceive your mind, but never your true consciousness,
Antares continued.
To win your battles, you need to awaken and strengthen it while lessening the grip of the ego, letting the ego go. Through the power of awareness, you can turn your mind into your ultimate weapon.
Nasteri's face grew thoughtful.
How would one do it?
He asked.
Meditate on your true essence that is light, and to make it a habit to keep your mind still during the day. Silence the mental chatter. The inner understanding will then come to you.
A flock of tiny luminous birds fluttered by, their long tail feathers floating in the breeze. Tay followed them with his gaze, fighting off the temptation to catch one.
The power of your awareness grounds you in the now, the only time where you can make a difference, where all your battles happen.
Antares' voice sounded in the dusky hush.
The warrior lives and acts in the present. Train your mind to adopt the state of flow. fluid and flexible, free from regrets of the past and fears of the future, ready to rise to the challenges as they come. The shadow is rigid in its ways. Fluidity and speed are your advantages against it.
Hegel considered that for a moment.
But what about the past and the future? I mean...
He paused, searching for words, unusually for him.
I mean, there must be a way to wield their energy too. Maybe channel would be a better word.
Absolutely.
Antares stopped again.
Each type of time serves its purpose. Imagine it as a triangle.
She drew a glowing line in the air.
The past and the future are at its base, like this.
The Guardian added two dots on both ends.
The energy of the future fuels your ability to analyze and learn, to think strategically and to make choices. It strengthens your intellect and your conscious mind. You need it as a compass to navigate you through the sea of life. The energy of the past,
she pointed to the other dot,
guides your intuition, memory, instincts, and feelings, the realm of the subconscious. It is where you find the roots of your integrity, as well as your ability to heal and love. And the present is where both lines converge.
She drew the last dot at the top and completed the triangle.
For the perfect balance, you need all three.
Nesteri contemplated Antares as she spoke. Her face painted by the play of light and shadow, her amber eyes deep, riveting and kind, with glimmer reflected in them. More glimmer touched her hair and flowed with it, crystalline as the breeze caressed it in a way that he would never dare. He swallowed his breath.
She is magnificent,
he mused, suddenly dreamy, his blood turning again into the vertiginous poison that swallowed his mind and spilt, tingling on his lips, his skin tormenting, burning from the inside. Strange gentleness took over him. As soon as that, another feeling lashed out, cold and unknown, its clammy rings tight on his throat, and, to his shock, Nesteri realized it was fear. He shuddered and snapped back to reality, mortified, hoping with all he had that nobody had noticed. The triangle in the air faded. Antares continued on her way, and Tay and Hegel with her, asking their questions. Nesteri torpidly turned around to follow, transfixed on his feet as they carried him forward, one step at a time.
What's going on with me? Why? Why?
He rubbed his face, a gesture of weariness and despair. He'd met many stars before who were beautiful and kind and sweet, like some ladies at the court who always paid him more attention than his fair due. No matter what, it only took the tiniest effort of his will, the mere intention to cast off any spell. His training and his mental discipline made him unshakable, impeccable both in his actions and his thoughts, always, until now. Nesteri slowed his gait, slightly at first, but then more and more. He needed to be alone. The rest didn't care to notice him lagging behind. Or maybe they pretended not to notice. Antares must have seen for sure, he thought. He didn't care. Life suddenly felt bizarrely pointless. The voices were coming fainter, muffled by the leafy walls.
It's been something I always strive towards, albeit not consciously.
And I get it, but...
That is the essence, I suppose.
Still, if I were to...
Nesteri didn't listen. He was angry with himself, and scared, he realised. Scared as he'd never been before. He didn't even know that fear could touch him. He'd never really felt it, until now. Despite his fight, the damned crippling feeling was taking over, swallowing him in, and he was drowning. The warrior set his lips hard. He couldn't let that happen.
I must win and I will,
he told himself.
No matter what.
The foot of the tower bulged like a gigantic tree with its roots sunk into the ground. The polished walls rose high into the dark belly of the sky, obscuring the stars with a jarred line of crenellations. Antares drew a rune with her right hand, and an outline of a door emerged on the cold metal of the wall, shining its way through. Secret sigils embellished its wings. The great star stretched her hand out and softly pushed in the middle. White streaks of light spread from her fingers through the metal, and the door opened. As soon as that, a hooded figure darkened the entrance. The faceless guard sprang forwards to bar the way, his green cloak swept behind. The quarter stiffened as the cold shimmer of his swords ready to fight, but Antares shook her head.
Aye, my oe.
She greeted the apparition and drew another rune. Still, without a word, the guard accepted it into himself, bowed, and disappeared. Tay rubbed his eyes.
What was that?
He asked in a whisper.
The keeper,
Antares said.
He wards off those who are not ready yet.
Was he a living being?
Not in the way that you would know, but yes. He exists in a time current different from ours.
If he was alive, why did he seem a ghost?
Not all who share this world with you have physical bodies.
A grand, spiralling staircase of carved stone opened to them from the entrance, its bottom painted dimly by a flickering glow. Up and up they went until Antares stopped on the final landing before a heavy, metal-studded door. It opened to a large columned hall in the shape of a crescent, girded with arched windows. Slant strips of moonshine lined the stone floor. Far to the left, beds appeared to be waiting for the quarter, a surprise most welcome. Tay suppressed a yawn. He suddenly realized how tired he really was. He looked over at Hegel, who let out a weary sigh.
Have rest,
Antares said. The golden tracing on her dress glistened as she turned to walk away.
I shall see you in the morning.
Nesteri tried to sleep. He wanted to sleep, badly. Falling asleep right now would be the greatest relief, the sweetest promise. He tried every breathing technique he could remember, yet whenever he was on the brink of drifting away, the mortifying memory from the maze burst in, making his eyes snap open. And in an instant, he was awake again. Finally, he gave up. He rubbed the middle of his chest where pain lodged and turned to the other side. Hegel was sitting on the ledge in the moonlight, a bare-chested silhouette hunched over a notebook. He scribbled frantically, pausing from time to time and scratching his chin with the pencil, then scribbled again. Nesteri propped himself up on his elbow.
Hey,
he called in a low voice.
Light, how are you not whacked?
I am,
Hegel muttered without lifting his head.
But this is more important. I wanted to take some notes while it's all fresh in my mind, especially about the power of voice.
Fair enough.
Nesteri pushed away the cover and sat up on his bed. He scratched his knee, stretched, then stared idly through the arched windows for a while. A large nocturnal bird flew past, darkening the moon. With the look of tired detachment on his face, Nesteri turned his hand palm up. A little ball of light appeared above it, flickered and dwindled. The second one went the same way. The warrior curled his hand into a fist and sighed.
What are you doing?
Hegel glanced at him briefly. Nesteri shrugged.
Just wish I knew how to make them last,
he confessed.
What for?
For healing mainly, so I could leave them to do the job while I'm not around. Might also use this for the runes of power, I guess, when we learn them.
Nesteri leant forward, resting his chin on his interlocked hands.
Good point.
Hegel spun the pencil in his fingers.
I'm curious about those runes too. Do you think Antares...
Will you two shut up?
Tay's voice boomed at them, sleepy and gruff.
Sorry, Captain.
Nesteri threw lightly. He studied Tay's prone figure, dappled with moonlight, just lying there, peaceful. Nesteri's eyes narrowed and flickered with mischief. He wasn't sorry. It was too good an opportunity. He took a breath, pulling up energy from the orange to the indigo gate, just as Antares told them, and channeled it through his throat.
You don't want to sleep,
he uttered slowly in the voice of command.
Get up.
To his own and Hegel's bewilderment, Tay jumped out of the bed at once. He battered his eyelids, muddled at first, but then it dawned on him.
What?
He growled.
Demon's arse! Don't you ever dare using those tricks on me! Trying to be funny, yeah? Yeah? Just you wait. You hecking asked for this.
Tay must have channeled all his anger into that call, because as he sauntered towards Nesteri, his voice was thick and binding like a spell.
Your will is mine,
he said evilly, coming closer, fixed on Nesteri's blank face.
You want to obey me. You want to kiss my...
He made a theatrical pause.
Hand.
Hegel chuckled at the last word. Tay chuckled too, despite himself, instantly losing focus. Nesteri snapped out of the trance, messed up his ashy hair and grinned mockingly.
Nope,
he said.
Git.
Tay barked at him, but his tone was more affable now.
I wonder if that's where stories of spells and magic come from.
Hegel mused out loud.
Imagine if one could call something into existence with his voice.
A swell idea.
Tay clasped his hands excitedly and rubbed them together, forgetting all about being tired.
Let's do it.
Barefoot as he was, he slopped to the middle of the hall, straightened up, cleared his throat and sang a few lines. The sound of his voice washed around like a wave, echoing under the vaulted ceiling. Nothing happened.
What were you trying to do?
Nesteri asked. Tay stuck his hands in his trouser pockets and turned on his heels.
Just wanted to cast a glow like downstairs. Nice and simple.
His lips curved down in disappointment.
Clearly not that simple.
He thought for a moment.
Oh, hold on. I've got an idea. Watch this.
The captain focused again. His voice was different this time, ringing with foreign for him, almost metallic overtones. He used the higher mind gates, Nesteri figured. For a brief moment, he could swear he saw a faint glow around where Tay stood.
You did it!
Nesteri slapped his knee.
Ha! Hegel, did you see that?
Yes.
Hegel nodded.
Quite impressive.
Tay gave a wide, courtly bow and one of his smuggest smiles.
Now let me try.
Nesteri jumped off his bed and stood next to Tay.
What if I...
He took a deep breath, getting himself ready, then spoke in a slow voice of command.
Let there be light,
in Silterianese.
Andue neriatil, neriatil.
A vague echo rolled through the hall. Nesteri cleared his throat and tried again. Then, one more time, the hall remained dark.
Oh well.
He twisted his mouth.
Need more practice, I guess. I just don't have the skill.
Why don't you try singing?
Tay rotated on his heel, the other way, slightly bored. Nesteri shrugged.
I guess I could.
He crooned a line, half-heartedly at first, but then he forced himself to focus. The columns behind him quivered and appeared blurry, but Nesteri didn't notice.
What an idiot.
He sighed.
Scrap that. Forgot all about the lower mind gates now. I'll go again.
Let's do it together,
Tay said impatiently.
Sure, which one?
The captain looked up, contemplating.
Hey, this is like the not-so-good old Blue Planet times.
He snorted suddenly.
Singing together like that?
Ha, you're right. And one, and two, and three.
Nesteri waved his hand with each count, just like Tay did at rehearsals.
So what's your choice?
He smirked.
Well, since we're toying with magic here, I'd say totally spellbound would fit.
Tay said jokingly.
Oh, that one.
You remember it?
Sure.
Perfect. Let's go then. Energy's ready? Good. And one, and two, and three.
Tay clicked his fingers.
I am totally spellbound.
Their voices rose and melted into one. A little tempest, moderate at first. It swelled, unfolding, building up with every breath. It was so new, So unexpected a success, it took them both off guard, leaving dazed and light-headed. Entranced, the stars kept singing. The sound surged, soaring, thickening with force. "Enough! Enough!" cried something deep inside their hearts. But they couldn't stop. Not now. The power they unleashed billowed and broke free, erupting in a blast, fierce like a storm. It swept over the hall and far beyond, formidable, drenching, entrancing. The world quivered dizzily. The pillars and the walls trembled. Wisps of smoke, no more substantial than a mirage. The warriors froze, trapped by the spell they had accidentally cast. All three fettered where they stood. Tay cursed in thoughts. He tried to move, to jolt, to free himself in vain.
"Hegel,"
he called, thankful that at least his ability to speak did not defy him.
"I'm here."
Hegel's voice came from his right, calm and sarcastic.
"Congrats, you have unlocked a whole new level of ridiculous. Most splendid."
"Not fair. How could we know that this would happen?"
Tay protested huffily.
"And anyway, wasn't the whole thing your idea?"
"Hegel, you look totally spellbound,"
Nasteri quipped. He happened to get Trust facing the windows.
"Stop it,"
Hegel told him with acidic sweetness. He felt unexpected anger stirring in him at the helplessness of being pinned down like a fly and the fact that he could do nothing about it.
"Trust me, you look just as stupid as I do."
Nasteri made another hopeless bid to move.
"I wonder for how long we're stuck like this,"
Tay growled.
"Maybe if we sing again, then..."
"No way, not doing that again."
Nasteri gave him a hard stare.
"Might only make it worse."
He imagined the humiliation when Antares would return in the morning to find them in this absurd state, trapped like a bunch of kids.
"Fair enough. Any other ideas, genius?"
Nasteri looked down.
"Not really,"
he was forced to admit.
"Maybe it will fade out by itself."
"What a well thought out plan,"
Hegel commented facetiously.
"Remarkable."
"Well, why don't you think of something?"
Nasteri snapped at him.
"You started this."
"What? I started? Me? I never did anything."
A strand of hair fell across his eyes and Hegel irritably blew it off.
"It was you and Tay who got us into this. You fix it."
Nasteri set his lips.
"It wasn't me who chose the damn song."
He wanted to shout, but thought better of it. Bringing that up wouldn't have helped.
"Fine,"
he said instead.
"I will. There must be a way."
He wanted to believe it, but the words felt hollow as he spoke. He had no clue of how to break off spells. Up until now, he didn't even know that spells were real.
"That's it,"
a quiet voice inside his head said.
"You've really screwed this time. There's nothing you can do about it."
The sight of beds, so close and yet unreachable, brought tiredness back. He sighed. For a long while, all three remained silent. Tay looked as though he had fallen asleep. Perhaps Hegel did too, or maybe he just wanted to be left alone. Wisps of fettering energy swirled around, showing no signs of fading. Nasteri stared blankly at the shafts of moonlight, slinking closer as time went by. A sickening sense of powerlessness crept in, sleazy and cold like a toad. His gaze wandered outside the window. Dark trees rustled there soothingly, sprinkled with silver. Nasteri closed his eyes, tiredness taking over. The land of dreams was calling for him, lapping around, wrapping like a warm blanket on his shoulders. "No, focus, you can't sleep," he scolded himself sternly and forced his eyelids up. Each weighed a ton.
"This is ridiculous. We can't stand here all night, caught like stupid rabbits in a snare."
Something rebelled inside him, stirring up his pride.
"You're an Asterion, starborn,"
he said in his thoughts.
"Keep fighting. There must be a way. There must be."
He contemplated dully the depth of the nocturnal shadows, then turned his stare towards the long stripes of moonshine for the thousandth time. Where their pale fingers touched the energy haze, it came to life in swarms of tiny sparks, like specks of dust floating in the light.
"Light,"
Mysteri's lips moved soundlessly, and as soon as that, he thought he heard a whisper coming back, an echo from nowhere. Or maybe it was just his addled mind, a shadow of a sigh, the quietest sound.
I,
he repeated on the tail of his breath.
I.
Then, slowly, like the faint rays of sunshine through the mist, calm clarity slipped in, filling his thoughts.
That's it,
he added out loud, the sudden epiphany wiping out lethargy in an instant.
Light!
What's that? You found the answer?
Tay mumbled, torpidly, startled from his drowse.
Yes!
Great. What is it?
Hope brightened Tay's face.
I've realised. The I language, I means light.
Ah, oh, congrats on your revelations.
Tay scoffed sardonically. He'd kick Mysteri if he could.
It's just what we need.
He grimaced.
Just when I hoped you came up with something useful for once.
You don't understand,
Mysteri interrupted hotly.
The words they say must be the words of power.
Who they?
The great stars.
What do you imply?
Hegel chimed in, woken up as well.
Hegel, haven't you figured it out too?
What? Honestly, no idea.
Hegel's voice was weary and flat. Seeing Mysteri excited was a rare sight, but right now, he couldn't care less.
What are we even talking about?
The words!
Nisteri's eyes flashed.
The power to shape reality. You're with me?
No.
Hegel's willingness to listen was close to naught.
Enough!
Tay cut in brusquely.
I'm fed up with this babble. Words this, words that. I want to get some sleep while I can. You two should also.
No, wait, I'll show you.
Nisteri carried on, undefeated.
Let me at least try.
Try what?
Just wait.
Mysteri closed his eyes.
I have an idea.
Unexplainably, it felt as though he had always known. It felt like coming home. Led by an impulse, he drew in energy with his breath, then pronounced slowly, calling every sound into existence.
I, Anavar.
The deep, commanding voice didn't seem to belong to him. The words darted across like wild streaks of lightning, engulfing, dazzling. A flash of white light flooded all, blasting the spell away. Hegel and Tay flinched, astounded, the unseen power washing through them with a shiver, a power the kind of which they'd never seen, never imagined, except in legends. And now they stood there swallowed by it, cleansed by it, free, yet paralysed by the thought. It took Tay several moments to shake the stupor off until he finally flexed his hands and stretched his neck, trying to gather thoughts about what he believed he saw, questioning his sanity all the while. He fixed Mysteri with a dazed stare, studying him as though he saw him for the first time.
What?
Tay wanted to ask, but his voice rasped inside his throat and broke off.
What was that?
The ability to speak had finally returned to him. He gasped out the last words all in one breath. Hegel stood silent, his face blank from shock, nearly fearful, but soon he gathered himself, frowned, and crossed his arms.
I said, let there be light in I,
Mysteri answered simply. He sounded like his usual self again.
How did you know?
I didn't.
Mysteri spread his arms.
It was just an idea. I thought it might work. Not too bad, huh?
He added with a light smile. Hegel and Tay exchanged glances.
Since when do you speak I?
Hegel asked carefully.
I don't speak it.
Mysteri insisted.
Sometimes words just come to me, and I don't know why. Intuition, I guess.
Intuition? Yeah.
Tay didn't bother to pretend he believed that.
That power you've just unleashed was intuition? Sweet. Listen here, I'm not an idiot.
He glowered, thunder thickening in his voice.
What have you been learning here in secret? Why didn't you tell us?
I didn't.
Mysteri muttered, taken aback by Tay's outburst.
I swear I didn't.
How come you speak A then? And Tara's taught you?
No.
Liar!
No, look, Tay,
Don't waste your breath, Captain.
Hegel said coldly.
He's not going to tell you.
Nesteri bit his lip and said nothing. He lingered for a few moments, looking down. His ashy hair gleamed with a touch of silver. In the bright circle of moonlight, his shadow darkened, slim and tall, a single clock hand. Growing in him was a peculiar sense of loneliness. There was no place where he belonged, and no soul who could truly understand him.
Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.